This is KDNK Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. It's 4:02. That means it's time for Express Yourself on this Friday. And I'll be your host today, Kathleen Shannon, in the studio with Brian Colley. Hey, Brian.
What's up, everybody?
Welcome to the airwaves.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
And this is your first time live on KDNK, right?
Basically, yeah. I haven't had much experience, so bear with me.
Great. Well, I love to have artists in on Express Yourself and people in the art world. So, and that's right. This is Express Yourself, where arts, culture, and conversations intersect. And on today's show, we're going to be traveling through some new and unusual concert venues with a trip to Bayul Retreat at the Diamond J and a tour of TAKA, the arts campus at Willits. And Brian here will be, he's already chatted with Carbondale Clay Center's Matt Eames. Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And featured artist Ashley Bevington, who is part of the current exhibition at the Clay Center called Complexities from Surface to Form. So stay tuned for all of that coming up in this next hour. And I think in the review of the last week, I spent some time at Light the Night with Love last weekend, which I thought was a splendid event with, there's just so many ways to create art from light, as it turns out. there are all sorts of things there. If you missed it, there's photos in the Super Sun that are kind of wrap it up nicely. But my favorite, I think one of my favorite pieces was a, it was like long light bulbs that were red and stacked in a triangle, and there were speakers set inside that made it sound like a fire, and the lights were blinking, so it looked like a campfire. And there were like children and also myself who went up to feel the heat of the fire, and it just, there wasn't any heat, but it was definitely messed with my brain.
Yeah, that was a piece by Marilyn Lowy. Yeah, it was really trippy to walk by and hear a crackling fire but not feel the heat coming off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like a sensory confusion or something. So, yeah, what a great event. And, yeah, check out the Super Sun for some awesome photos of that. And right on the cover is Barb, who organized it. She's just beaming, and it's really nice. So check it out. And all right, let's see. We've got the Valley Visual Art Show is still on. And Brian, can you tell me what else is going on at the launch pad in Carbondale?
Yeah, we still have the Valley Visual. It's up for another almost a week. Comes down at the end of next Thursday. We just announced the People's Choice Awards, which is exciting to award first place to Greg Watts. He's a local photographer. Second place is Richard Sundin, also a photographer. And third place, you might know Chet Herring. He's a local marble sculptor.
Wow.
All worthy artists. So congrats to those guys. And that, yeah, we've got another week of that. And then opening first Friday, March 5th, is a show called Nested Roots, which is a collaboration with CU Boulder. They have a program called NEST, which stands for Nature and the Environment and Technology and Science and Technology.
Wow.
It's like an artist-scientist collaboration thing. It's going to be, it's going to blow our minds. I'm so excited. we had to postpone it from last year. We shut down the gallery, and so they're back.
So it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, yeah.
So is that student artists in that case then from CU Boulder?
They are. Yeah, there's both student and professors coming out for that. Ceramic arts, photography. There's like a theater director who put together costumes. Just kind of something for everyone, even like sound recordings of rocks, if you can imagine.
That sounds a lot like the fire piece, where you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Sensory confusion.
Yeah. I can't wait. It's been a long time coming. So
great. And when does that open, you said?
March 5th. It's opening day from 10 to 5, or 10 to 7. We're open late on first Friday. And then that runs through March 25th. So you've got some time.
Great. And it sounds like some of them will be around for the opening.
You know, we're not having like a reception.
Right.
But we will be open late, and hopefully we'll have an artist or two come by, but it's hard to do that these days. So we're going to organize a Zoom thing later on and post that for questions and answers and stuff.
Great. Yeah. And you guys had that like I mean, I don't know what technology you use to do a virtual tour of the exhibition that's currently up. Mm-hmm. Is that something you're planning to use in the future? It's like a Google Street, mm-hmm. but from indoors of a gallery.
It's a lot like Google Street View. It's this thing called Matterport. It's like this 360 camera that this company from Basalt, KA Design Works, has donated to come and shoot the show. We've been doing it ever since we got reopened in the summer. And it's amazing. It's not quite like you're really there, but you are zooming around and clicking on the pieces, and we're able to label each thing so you can learn about them. So we're going to do that for sure for the month.
Yeah.
So.
And, actually my parents who live in Michigan found the link to that. In one of the stories we did here, and they totally took a tour from Michigan.
Great.
So
yeah, that's the goal.
Send it along.
Yeah.
Awesome. Anything else of note there?
Just never a dull moment at Carbondale Arts.
Exactly. Well, I know tomorrow too, we've got LunaFest is going live tomorrow. So that's Saturday. This is a LunaFest film festival, which you can watch from the comfort of your very own couch, as most things you can watch that way these days. For 20 years, LunaFest has traveled the world with short films by and about women. This season's program of 7 films will compel discussion, make you laugh, tug at your heartstrings, and motivate you to make a difference in our community. So you can go to lunafest.org or advocatesafehouse.org for more information and to purchase tickets for viewing the films tomorrow, as well as obtaining LunaFest gift bags. So hopefully we'll see you at the virtual movies from couch to couch, of course. And here at Katie and Kay, we've got a little art launch competition going, I guess you could say. We've got our spring membership drive coming up and are looking to all of our listeners for a Katie and Kay logo for this year's membership drive. We've had some in-house artists, Lucas Turner and Raleigh Burley have both done recent ones, but we're hoping to get some more involvement from you listeners. So we're going to, trying to imagine Katie and Kay airwaves and putting them onto paper. I mean, that's kind of a challenge.
Can't be. Logo design's always like that.
Yeah.
It's a good challenge, though.
Yeah. So we're looking for something simple with just a maximum of 3 distinct colors. And vectorize. We talked about vectorizing the other day, Brian, because I didn't know what that meant. But if you can vectorize your image, then that's really helpful for us. It must include KD&K 88.13 and 5. And the theme, which for this membership drive, is your radio, your voice. So those things should be printed within the logo. And the winner will receive a KD&K membership at the family level, a hat, a bumper sticker, and 5 of the t-shirts made with your logo. So you can really just show off that KD&K swag. And if you have a logo to submit, please do so to kenna@kdnk.org, or you can call the station to drop off a physical copy. And that number, of course, is 970-963-0139. And we're accepting images until March 15th. So we look forward to seeing the artistic inclinations of our listeners. And I think we're going to move on. This is a conversation with from Amy Kimberly, who couldn't be here today, but she spent a weekend up at Bayul Retreat Center at the Diamond J a couple of weeks ago. Bayul is located above Rudai Reservoir and is finding a new way to present events. The last 2 weeks, they presented Leia Song from Rising Appalachia as part of Ballads at Bayul, which we heard was fabulous and sold out with an added surprise of her sister for Valentine's Day, making, of course, the full Rising Appalachia. Bonnie Payne, formerly from Elephant Revival, and Paya Lucy, an opera singer, say that better than I do? No? We'll present a voice workshop on Wednesday, February 24th, and concert on Thursday, February 25th. That's coming up next week. They also have a Snoga yoga retreat this weekend. So you can stay tuned for events and opportunities at bayulretreat.com. What do you think Snoga yoga is?
It sounds cold, but I'm sure they heat up in no time.
Yeah, right. They just really have to make you work for your warmth.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear what Amy is doing up at Bayul Retreat.
All right. This is Amy Kimberly, and I'm here with 3 of the forces behind the Bayul Retreat at the Diamond J, Abby Stern, and Ruben Sadowski and James Gorman. Hi, how are you guys?
Doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it snowed this weekend, which made all of us much happier.
And working hard. I have spent the weekend here, and it's quite an operation. First and foremost, what possessed you guys to do this? What was the passion behind this?
Well, for me, this is Ruben Sadowski, and I born and raised in Aspen, and I've traveled a lot and seen amazing places. I've also done a lot of projects here in the Valley, almost 10 years of taking things on with James, and I've been friends with Abby for a long time. And through all the years of traveling and seeing other community projects, land projects, projects with great intentions, I was inspired and also thought a lot about how I would do things differently and maybe better if I could. And I've always wanted to do something in the Roaring Fork Valley that felt solid and felt like it was a way for us to bring more of the world and different demographics to this valley and more of this valley's Aspen idea and our general lifestyle and values to the rest of the world. And so I was looking for land for a few years, and it was just a little over a year ago that the Diamond J Ranch came back on the market, and that was right when Abby and I decided to start working on kind of a similar vision.
And for you, Abby, what is the passion behind this?
So for me, I was previously the executive director of Lead with Love, which is an Aspen-based wellness retreat company. And we were hosting retreats around the world and doing them in Aspen, but we didn't actually have a venue here in our valley. And I look at the Roaring Fork Valley as a wilderness retreat for all of the people who live here and really wanted to curate a space where people could come and host retreats, experience their own retreats, gather together in nature, and have the experience where they're really getting rejuvenated, really connecting back with themselves, getting inspired. And so it was a gap in the market that I saw, something that I was truly desiring, looking to find. And then we really started all of this at the beginning of COVID. So right when the pandemic hit is actually right around the time that we found the property. So we found the property about a month later, the first case happened in the United States. And so we built our entire business model during the time of the pandemic and really was excited to curate ways for people to still travel, to get out in nature, to come together as community in a safe way. And so it's been the building blocks of what we've been creating here. And it's really sweet to watch people travel for the first time in a year, to remember how to pack their suitcase, how to sleep in a bed that's not your own.
Nice, nice. And let's talk about that curation, because it's not only with the experience people have, but it's also in the way you guys are all intentionally living. Everyone up here is, you're connected through friendship, and other values. We have James Gorman here, who is now water wizard extraordinaire, among other things. Can you explain a little bit about what you do? And I'd love to talk a little bit about this intentional living together to curate a space.
Yeah, I help take care of the ranch on the physical side of things, but it's pretty amazing just what we do here, and just by the design of our location and where we're at, getting people to tune out of their, tap out of their cell phone and Wi-Fi and tap into nature happens just from people being here. So us kind of living that lifestyle, it's a lot of it is just here by design. Which is Mother Nature, and it's just cool to be a part of it and be able to get people to feel comfortable here. And it's, we've only been here a few months and it already feels like it's starting to work.
Nice. So you all take care of different aspects. How does that work? Does every morning you come together and decide who's doing what on the ranch, or do you have different positions you each oversee?
Yeah, kind of like any startup, we can all have our titles and we can all have our roles, which is really important. And like, we all definitely do work on the principles of just like trust and empowerment, trying to utilize the four agreements of not taking things personally, always doing our best, you know, not assuming. And what's the fourth one?
Yeah. Being impeccable.
And being impeccable with your word. So we try and be tight but loose. Like, we're all definitely jumping in to help each other. We try and be good about communicating when we do need help, because one day, you know, we may have 20 pipes freeze and we all have to jump into James's role. One day I'm trying to figure something out with the city or trying to make a new system and I really need support from everyone else. The housekeeping has been probably the most difficult aspect of the bit. I mean, there's many difficult aspects, but we all get together in the morning. We do our best to like set some intention. We always have a morning meeting to line things out, and we're always still trying to add more practices that make it so that it doesn't just feel like a job, because we are living up here by choice, kind of isolated with our friends and family, and that means that we have to be extra careful about how we show up for each other and how we show up in our roles, and that we try and create separation, that we try and go and have fun every day. Because it's different than what a lot of people choose. It's right in our face, and there's difficulties with that, but there's a lot of rewards too.
Well, let's talk about the name Bay Yule, and what you, when you look into the future of what you're curating here, what do you see?
Well, yeah, maybe I can go backwards and you guys can talk about what we're trying to do going forwards, but going backwards, again, all three of us have deep, long connections in this valley. We really see it as our special hidden valley in this corner of the world. And for me personally, I went to school for Chinese and international affairs, and I did a lot of research on kind of Tibetan history and academia. And there's this concept, Beiyul, which literally means hidden lands. They're real places, but they have different layers that are only open to the pilgrim or the traveler based on their level of awareness. And it's not so much that it's like a paradisical landscape where everything works and you never die. It's literally more a practice of going on difficult journeys so that the challenges kind of illuminate where you need to grow and gives you more of a chance to practice your Buddhism or your Dharma or your awareness or whatever it is. And so this really we're 26 miles up the Frying Pan Road. It's a long drive. We're close to Vail and Aspen and Carbondale and all these places, but also it feels like a world away. And taking away some of those comforts, like what James was talking about, not having Wi-Fi. Some people, like, it's become pretty clear, don't know how to build a fire in their fireplace. But all these little things are what are challenging and yet kind of let people reprogram and reset their nervous system. And so that's why we pick the name, and it expresses itself in many ways. And then we have a few intentions of the general categories of what we want to do here.
Mm-hmm. Again, so Beiyul means hidden lands. And one of the things that I really gravitate towards is really thinking about the hidden lands, hidden landscapes also inside ourselves. So the things that you aren't really turning towards in your daily life, and whether that's the deeper layers of really actually wanting to pursue a career as an artist or reconnecting with your writing, the different aspects that we all have inside and using this place to bring that out. So to really re-inspire, to reconnect with ourselves and to reconnect on a deeper level with each other. So really removing the technology barrier and to come back to what we all know as a species is so important, gathering around food, gathering together in song. And so some of the things that we're really looking forward to is being a new venue for music. During the COVID pandemic, we're starting to get creative of what that looks like. And so whether it's bonfires 6 feet spaced apart or a wedding outside, we want to be a space that whenever people are coming together, they're coming together in intention. So we're not trying to throw big parties out here in the woods, but we are wanting to do celebrations. And one of the things that I'm really looking forward to is the retreat concept and how we can get people to come for an extended period of time, to come on a writing workshop, to come for a yoga retreat. And we're set up with 15 separate cabins. Right now there's 11 guest cabins, and so people can come and stay in their separate areas and then come together to gather during the day.
Nice. And you have your first event coming up that you're working on, and it's right in the middle of winter at, what's your elevation here?
8,300 feet.
Wow, at 8,300 feet. And I can say that I just spent the weekend here and was outside in the night sitting around a fire in this beautiful spot. And I felt great. I felt really great. It's amazing how things can change your perception of doing things outside in the middle of winter or whatever. So let's hear about your first big foray into the event.
Yeah,
world.
So February is going to be our first month of weekend events. We have each weekend we'll have something. And the first two is with Leah Song from Rising Appalachia. And we're so excited to have live music. And so February 6th, Saturday, February 6th, will be our first performance with her. We're doing a sunset ballads at Bayul. And so she'll be performing, and every person will have, or every cabin will have their own fire pit, hot drinks, cozy blankets. And so the sun will be setting and we'll be listening to music and hopefully all coming together in song. And then the following weekend, so that first weekend actually already sold out. It sold out right away, which was awesome. We did, we've had really great community support. And we did our newsletter and text invites for that first round, and that went right away. And then the second weekend is Valentine's Day and President's in the same. So the second weekend is a two-night concert series. And so she'll be going on the 13th and 14th, which is Saturday and Sunday. And we're just psyched to sit around and sing and listen to music. It feels like it's been so long since we've been to a concert. And then the following weekend, the 19th through the 21st, we're doing our first yoga retreat. And that will be Snoga. It'll be all outdoor. You'll be inducing your own heat. So a lot of breath work and movement, still surrounded by fire. And so we're going to experience what that looks like to have a winter retreat outside.
Wow. And maybe, James, you could talk a little bit about the space out here and how it is conducive to these kinds of things.
The space is beautiful, but we've created an outdoor venue the best we can, which is a lot of fire pits. So it's been interesting to come up with this in COVID. There's no roadmap for it, so we've been getting creative. But I think it's gonna work great. And then we just have lots of stuff to do outside. We have our own cross-country ski track. We have trails going up and down the valley. There's lots to do outside, and we're really excited about that. And we're excited to see what this music outdoors with fire looks like.
Is there a stage, or where will Leah be performing?
We have her performing just outside our main lodge. We have a big lodge that also has 8 rooms upstairs. But we've created and lit up a nice outdoor space, and Leah will be kind of under the eave on the porch. And we've created a little stage. And yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting, you guys. I mean, to just be reimagining the way people gather in a time that... Who could have known we would have to reimagine it anyway, right?
As I was saying to your hubby, Billy Bob, I think anybody who is playing the 2021 bingo game,
yeah,
probably was wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's for us, maybe one thing too about just like our larger intentions, because at one main invitation we want everyone to feel is that this is a community hub. It's an idea incubator. It's a backcountry adventure lodge. It is our Burning Man event center. But it really is for the community. Like, we want everyone to treat this as their retreat center, too. And so anyone who's ever thought about this programming they've wanted to do or this idea. And like, if you are willing to take that step into being kind of your own producer, you now have not only a space where you can execute your vision, but you've got an amazing team with the three of us and, you know, the other six people that we have to back you up. And so knowing that we're into all of the health and wellness stuff, we've got big plans on like the permaculture front, regenerative design. We've already done some wilderness first responder courses, and there's so much more we can do. And we really are open to collaborating because we know that there's so much talent within this valley that should get shared with the world and vice versa. We're excited to bring people here that our local folks are going to be stoked to see.
Well, before we end, can I just ask you each to tell me how old you are?
I am 32.
I'm 29.
I'm 31.
You guys, what a great step to take at this age. I think we're really lucky to have you around here with this vision. Gives us hope for the future and how we can all come together. So I thank you all for taking on this big responsibility and living the vision in all ways. So we'll look forward to always hearing about what's going on at Bay Yule. I can't wait to figure out something to do up here someday, and I hope others will too. So if someone wants to stay or they want to collaborate with you or any of the above, what do they do?
So the best place would be to go to our website, which is bayyuleretreat.com, B-E-Y-U-L. retreat.com, and on there is where we'll list all of our events. There's some inquiry forms for potential artists and residents in the future, collaboration and event proposals. And then to reach out to us, our email is hello@bayyuleretreat.com. Please reach out, please come out. The one thing that we love to talk about is that this space has been a guest ranch for almost 100 years. And so what we're doing here is just reimagining what a guest ranch looks like and adding that retreat concept. But this land's always been this way, and we really want to open it back up to the community. It's beautiful cabins, and most people in the Roaring Fork Valley have driven by and seen the sign, but I've never actually walked on the land and seen inside what we can really do here. So we invite you to come up, to come stay with us. If you are hearing it right now, you can use the code Roaring Fork Valley. So that's RFV Local. RFV Local will give you a discount if you're in our community and want to come up and stay.
All right. Well, thank you for your time and for such a wonderful stay up here. So I look forward to coming back many more times and seeing what you're up to.
Please do.
All right, it's 4:30, and you're listening to Katie and Kay and Express Yourself. That was Amy Kimberly up at the Bay Yule Retreat, way past the Rudai Reservoir. I imagine it's quite snowy up there. I'm glad she made that trip safely. So thanks for that conversation, Amy. And coming up next, Brian also had an artist conversation this week. Can you tell us about what we're going to hear?
Yeah, I got a chance to chat with Matthew Eames over at the Clay Center here in Carbondale. And they have a show that's up through the end of the month called Complexity, Surface to Form, From Surface to Form. It's got, I think, about 5 artists, not local people, so it's kind of a great chance to see what other people are doing outside the valley. And we got to sit down with Ashley Bevington, who is from Ohio, and she had some very spectacular pieces. Poodles, eyeballs with flowers, very detailed and super whimsical.
I heard just a few bits from this conversation, and they sound great. So I especially love that she's a dog person.
Yeah. He's got some good stories.
Any chance you know how much longer that show's running?
That is up through March 27th, and they are open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 5. So head on over there if you can.
All right, perfect. Let's let this song by Adonai, or excuse me, it's called Adonai by Akib Shakedown. We're going to let this play out and then hear Brian's conversation. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, I'm joined here with Matthew Eam from the Clay Center. Matthew, maybe tell us about your position over there and the show you have up right now.
Hi, everyone. I'm Matthew Eames. I'm a studio gallery manager at the Carbondale Clay Center. We have a show up right now called Complexities from Surface to Form. And we have five different artists in the show, Naomi Clement, Mark Arnold, Matt Mitros, Chris Pickett, and Ashley Bevington, and we actually have Ashley with us today, and we're really excited to have this show. It's a decorative-focused show with some really great work. So, yeah, we're really excited. Thanks for having us, Brian.
Yeah, and thank you, Ashley, for joining us. I'd love to hear about your work, Ashley. I just got to go visit the show in person. Your work
is
so fun and detailed and whimsical. What inspires you to make this kind of work?
Well, thank you, Brian, and thank you so much for having me. Well, I actually grew up in Nashville, Ohio, which last time I looked, it was population 180. So, And my parents had 50 acres of land. And so, you know, as a child, what I did for fun, I would go outside and play in the dirt and look in the mud and watch tadpoles change into frogs and all that fun stuff, you know, the flowers and vegetation growing in the spring and just observing a lot of nature, really. That was kind of what I loved doing, you know, watching anthills, and the ground was basically alive if you would observe it on a tiny scale. So that was kind of where my imagination set off, you know, as a child. Even I looked at walnuts, you know, have the walnuts and thought of them as elephant noses, you know. So, you know, just ever since a child, I've been inspired to make stuff and glue things together. And my parents had a bunch of dogs growing up. Mm-hmm. So there'd be puppies running around and they'd be outside. And I would actually chain myself up outside with the dogs.
Oh my goodness.
I would pretend to be a dog. I would pretend to be a dog. Like, I'd have the whole spiel, you know. I'd take out two bowls, you know, one filled with water and one filled with Cheetos. And I'd pretend to be a dog. I even scratched my head with my foot, and I'd put holes in all of my shirts because, you know, the collars, they would hold a dog chain really well. I'd put a hole like right in the front. And it made my mom so mad. She's like, "You need to quit playing dogs," you know. And, you know, she told me I wouldn't have any friends in kindergarten if I kept doing that weird stuff. So I trained myself to quit doing that, you know, eventually. And then I met another girl, and her name was Ashley in kindergarten, and she liked playing dog too. So, take that, Mom. Yeah, so that's kind of where the whole dog thing comes into play. And
yeah, could you talk about your work for, since it's a radio show, maybe people haven't been able to see the show in person.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of what makes this quite difficult. So I make functional pottery, but it's become more sculptural with all of the embellishments and, you know, the alterations that I do after the wheel. There's a couple of slip cast pieces in there too, the eyeball vases that I sculpted, and then I made a mold. So it's, you know, a one of a kind mold. So it's like an eyeball with a tear dripping down at its base, and you actually insert flowers into individual eyelashes that kind of spike up into the air, like stand out. So individual flowers stand out. You can fit 5 flowers in it, so that kind of makes for a fun little arrangement, you know. But I tend to make a lot of poodles with, like, puffed out hair, and that's kind of what gives it its shape. Like the bottle, there's a bottle with like a bone sticking out as a lid, and then I add flowers and other embellishments to the pieces, and some of them I go really over the top and put a lot of flowers, like especially along the rims, and I use flowers as texture for the ears, kind of like it takes on that like a quality of hair almost.
When I walked in the show, that was the first piece I saw, or this kind of a pairing. And the detail with the flowers and the hair is amazing. Not to mention the little brain you made that sticks out on the tongue of the, the character. It's amazing.
Yeah, so there's 2 that kind of go along in a pair almost. And they're dogs. They're poodles in my eyes. You know, some people might not see it. They look kind of monster-like. They have, like, sharp teeth. And one has, like, a cage on its forehead. And if you look inside, there's a little stretched out spider web and a spider, and to indicate that, you know, it's empty, there's no brain. And then the other cup that is next to it has a brain on its tongue, as if, you know, indicating that it slurped the brain out of the other one's head.
Oh my God.
And
that's amazing.
And there's the cage on the front of the missing brain cup has a keyhole, and on the back of the cup with the brain on its tongue, there's a key dangling. So it's kind of all those little hidden, I like all those little hidden Easter eggs, and I like playing with Polly Pockets as a kid too, so that was and the game Operation.
Okay.
Putting little things into crevices, I guess.
I can see that. Yeah, I can totally see that. Yeah, it's a really fun show to walk around. And I was reading a little bit about your artist statement, Ashley, before the interview, and I really appreciated what you were saying about it's easy to get caught up in the routine of the mundane, but it's important to seek out joy with the little things, and you've got a lot of little things to enjoy in there. And I wonder if you could talk just briefly about your experience over the past year, because it is nice to find that joy still, and it's palpable in your work for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we have to drink liquids and consume food to survive, so anyway, so you might as well pump up the experience with handmade work. And to me, I don't know, like when you're using someone else's pots, it's almost as if they're whisked. So I don't know if you follow any potters on Instagram or whatever, if you actually go to a potter's house, they often have like a mug wall in their kitchen, because we collect each other's work like mad, because we, you know, we value that experience of having that cup and, you know, in turn that person with you. Like if you have a whole meal just with each, you know, piece, each dish having its own specific dish, handmade pot, then it's as if you're having a meal with all of these potters, you know. So that's kind of been nice during the pandemic.
Yeah, you might not be able to visit in person with people, but you can have
with you.
Their pottery surrounding you with your meals. I love that.
Yeah, and like even online events, we have been pretty adaptive with changing everything into like Zoom workshops, you know. I feel like it's been more active because of it, honestly.
Yeah, there's always a lot going on, and I know the Clay Center brings a lot of life to the ceramic artists in the Valley. It's such a great source and community. I'm really grateful for that. Thank you so much, Ashley, for sharing that. Matt, I just wanted to check in because this show is up through, is it March 27th?
That's correct, yeah. March 27th.
And your gallery hours are?
For Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Okay.
We also have the exhibition up online at www.carbondaleclay.org.
Perfect.
And you can also find a link via the exhibition page to see all the work and purchase all the work online, something we've also been active about during the pandemic to try to boost shows.
Great. Yeah, it's always nice to have other options for viewing the work. But you got to go see the work in person if you can. It's amazing. And thank you, Ashley, for taking time today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me, Brian. I appreciate your time as well.
Cool. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you, Matt, too.
Yeah, thank you both.
Well, thanks everyone for tuning in to KD&K. That was a great chance to catch up with Clay Center and see what they're up to. And thanks to Matthew and Ashley for their time. Next up, we have some fun things from Taka. Stringer Amy Kimberly was granted a tour of the Contemporary, the first piece of the Arts Campus at Willits. There's a lot going on with the building, noise, and the place is on schedule to open in June. Right now we're listening to the Winston theme by the Winston Brothers. It's pretty cool.
I am here at Taka, now potentially known as the Contemporary.
This is the Contemporary, yes. We're still and always will be Taka, the Arts Campus at Willits, but this is the first building of the larger campus, and this building is the Contemporary.
Called the Contemporary, and I am here with Ryan Honey and Kendall Smith, who are overseeing the project. And Kendall will also be, what is your official title?
I'll be the Director of Programming.
Kendall Smith is the Director of Programming. All right, boys, what do we see here?
All right, so we are standing outside the building, which is the outside's almost done. The inside is now where the action's at. But we're overlooking our little amphitheater here in the ground, which is recessed, which is fantastic. We can put a nice little performance down there. We've wired that for power. And then you can see the steps up that go to the covered terrace, another performance space that we can utilize. And then that's the main event there. There's a door from the terrace, but the front door is just on the other side underneath the large canopy, the suspended canopy, which is very dramatic. And to me, it looks kind of like a ship. I don't know. It's kind of got a quality of like a mast and sails, which I love. We're setting sail on the cultural seas, if you will. So, but let's walk around to the front. We can show you the building.
And can I ask one question before we move on? I remember there was a space where you were looking at doing outdoor movies. Is this big blank wall here the spot?
Yeah, Kendall, why don't you tell Amy, our plans for the outside spaces for the summer.
So down here on the listening lawn, we have two different places. We have the amphitheater that Ryan just mentioned with the gabion walls that people can sit on. And then over there, we're going to put our steel deck stage from the temporary over there against the wall. And we'll have a space for people to sit on grass there to watch there. And I think with that wall, we can use it to project movies on if we want to do film at night here.
And how many people, this is called the listening lawn?
That's what Ryan's been calling it, so I've just picked up that term. And depending on the status of the pandemic, we were thinking this little amphitheater will hold 90 people seated. And over there, we're still trying to figure out, after we get all the rocks moved, we'll understand more kind of how many people we can fit over there.
Wonderful. All right, let's walk around to the front.
This summer, pretty much regardless of what happens with the pandemic, we're going to be able to program. And it may not be inside, but we'll be able to get back to, you know, creating shared cultural experiences for people. So,
what is the projected opening date?
So the building is going to be done in June, and we will begin programming in July, actually even in June, as the building's getting wrapped up, mostly outside and then going inside as is allowable. And then we're looking at the end of September having a real grand opening celebration. But again, we have to be mindful of COVID and watch what's happening. That's our number one priority, is to make sure we do it safely. So it's a bit of a moving target.
True.
All right, so you are now at the front door, which I'm sorry we can't go into, but there's a double door, which creates an airlock. The building is going to be net zero, which is really, really exciting. We're trying to really lean into doing our part on the fight against climate change. So it's if not the first, one of the first net zero performing arts centers in the country. So solar generation on the roof, and Kendall's actually looking at doing some net zero tours starting as soon as this summer, trying to get artists here on electric vehicles. And so the whole tour could be net zero. But we'll walk around the whole facility, then we'll go inside because we have to go in the back door. But this is our main entrance where it's all going to start happening. Control room is here, so the nerve center, all the controls go back into that. Light board, sound board, everything else is back there. Another egress over here, which is part of our COVID planning. For the folks who want to, you know, come see a show if it's socially distant and then just exit right away, they can have that as an exit. Folks who want to mingle can stay here in the commons area. So we're walking into the commons, which is our oversized lobby space. And this is a space where we could actually do events in as well, based on, you know, what the event is. Really dramatic views of the mountains, obviously, which is wonderful. And lots of opportunity to host folks in here and get creative and with what we can do in here. There's a kitchen which we can walk through on the other side of that wall, so we have a full catering kitchen which over time could actually be upgraded to a commercial kitchen as well. So there's an opportunity there. It's not built yet, but the most important part of the building, the bar, goes right there, so facing into the theater. Let's walk into the kitchen. You can just see that real quick.
Yeah, and then this also opens up out onto the listening lawn.
Yeah, so there's the doors right there that go out into the terrace that we were standing under earlier.
All right. It's a beautiful open light space. Oh, yeah, big kitchen, though. That's a big area.
Yeah, and it's got, the kitchen has its own load-in back there. So the art, if we have a big event, the artists can be loading in and any caterers can be loading in, and they don't interfere with their own operation. So over here behind that wall are the bathrooms, and we did 2.5 times as many women's rooms as men's rooms, and we did more restrooms than the code required because we really felt it was important that at intermission people are not waiting in long lines, that they can just go in and get out. So coat check, box office, and our office suite. So we really try to maximize creative spaces and minimize the amount of office space we needed. So there'll be a couple of small private offices back there for meetings and things like that. Otherwise, we're going with a pretty open plan, and much like we did at the temporary, you know, for having meetings or, you know, a meeting like this, we can meet in the theater, we can meet in the green room. You know, we want to maximize the amount of creative space, and so we need some office space, but this is what you have here. And then this is the Alpine Bank Community Room, and this is a rehearsal room, a room for civic activities, community activities. You know, we partner with 37 nonprofits at the Temporary to program, and we're going to, I think, dramatically increase that number. And this is a space dedicated for after-school workshops, educational workshops on the weekends. Hopefully, we'll just get this space, you know, active as much as possible.
What would you open up for, like, let's say there were people that needed a rehearsal space, any bands or anything like that, or is that?
Yeah. So we'll have certainly this is a rehearsal room designed for that. So, and we'll prioritize our nonprofit partners that are, you know, on mission and making sure they can use the space. But you know, you and I both know this valley needs more creative space for people to create art. So that's what this room is for.
Can we sit down, take a couple minutes, and just talk about some of the programming thoughts?
Sure. The plan right now is to start programming outside in July and bringing people to the campus, and as COVID permits, you know, get people inside for tours and to see and get familiar with the facility. And then, you know, we'll do that July through August. And then, as Ryan had mentioned, we'd like to start planning an opening weekend in probably the third week of September. And then from there, we'll start. I'm operating under the assumption that we'll be good to go in October to do stuff indoors, even if it's somewhat reduced capacity. And if that's the case, then we'll start booking accordingly. I think we're going to focus early on a lot of Colorado artists and kind of showcase them and utilize them in a manner that would allow us, if the status of COVID changes, it's less of an impact to try and cancel a tour. That way we can readjust and be adaptable and flexible.
That's nice. And are you also looking at renting this facility out for weddings and events, that kind of thing?
I believe it will be, yes. I think our priority right now is to get open and understand the building and the nuances of operating a new facility before we really start opening it up for rentals. But I think it would be a waste not to share this building with the community for special events.
Nice.
And I think on that point, Amy, there's an opportunity there. When we got lots of requests at the Temporary for special events and weddings and things like that, I'm assuming we'll get those requests here as well, with a facility that looks and feels like this. And I think that, you know, our mission is to present performing arts and thought-provoking programming. And so what we would like to do over time is figure out when are the slow spots, right? Like, when are the weekends that are, you know, we already know, like, Labor Day, everyone goes to Jazz Aspen, and that's the big event. We don't want to counter-program to that. That's what everyone's going to. So if we could do a wedding that weekend, that's a great opportunity for us to, you know, have a fiscal backstop for us and not interfere with our mission. So we'll learn the right amount of rentals that we should be doing, but we're going to prioritize, obviously, our mission in performing arts.
And I think there'll be, you know, there'll be things that look like rentals because we're going to have so many good partners in the Valley, and they may be presenting something here as a partner of ours where it wouldn't be a straight rental. It's just a partnership.
Right. Last year, you guys did a lot of programming out on the streets. Do you see any of that happening this summer with some events happening just in Willits?
Absolutely. And actually, Kendall, you want to talk about what we're doing on Wednesdays?
Certainly. We are going to partner with the Basalt Chamber of Commerce again to do Wednesday Night Live. So that'll start up, I think, June 23rd, I believe, is the first Wednesday we'll operate. We'll do that for 8 weeks. And then in addition to that, as I mentioned, in July and August, we'll be out here in the street or on the lawn doing things and activating here as well.
That big room was a stage. It was too noisy, but Amy told us it had a stage as big as a Wheeler Opera House and have a top-notch sound system designed by Carbondale's own Alchemy Audiovisual. A great space for listening or dancing. The stage room opens to the entry gallery for added space and light. Stay tuned to Taka at taka.org.
Thanks for tuning in to Express Yourself, and thanks, Brian, for being here.
Thanks, Kathleen.